Brothers and sisters and friends, good morning. Welcome to worship. What an honor it is to be in your presence, and what a joy and a gift it is to gather in the presence of God, divine love and grace with us here today. Big game today. Big game today. Tottenham and Aston Villa. Hopefully Tottenham's wreck of a season will get back on track today. And grateful for your prayers and appreciate your enthusiasm. I want to invite you, as you may consider and maybe making plans, we will celebrate Good Friday in a meaningful, beautiful way this year. We will have a service of communion on Maundy Thursday. That's not Monday, that's Thursday. On Maundy Thursday, we'll have a service of communion, 6:30 p.m. here in our Grand Hall. And invite you to join us this year. We will not be washing feet, just to continue some safe practices. On Good Friday, we will have throughout our sort of worship space here, we will celebrate the Stations of the Cross from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We invite you. It's a self-guided experience of prayer. It might take you anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour to guide yourself through the last few hours of the life of Jesus. Invite you 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to come at any point you feel is convenient to you to come and join us in prayer and in worship as we look to the cross and ultimately to the resurrection of Jesus. I have some exciting news I'd like to share with you, church, and want to ask you to join me in offering a blessing. We would like to welcome the Boyd family. As good Baptists, they're sitting on the back row. Would you mind standing and letting us welcome you? Church, if you'd join me in welcoming them. Very good. Yeah. Dan and Sharla and Dylan and Kylie have joined our church, and those of you who are worshiping with us at home, I believe Mike has shown just a beautiful picture of this family next to the Christmas tree. We're honored that you're here. And I'd like to ask you, church, if you would commit, will you pray for this family? Will you look for the light and the love of Christ in them? Will you support them? Will you allow for them to pray for you? Will you allow for them to be grace to you? If you will do this, if you will commit to them, if you will be the family of God to them and let them be the family of God to you, will you join me in saying amen? Amen. Amen. What a gift. What a joy. I invite you to turn your heart, your mind, your soul, even your body to worship this morning. I invite you to breathe as we welcome the presence of God here in this place, here long before there was ever even a before. Take a breath now. The Lord be with you. Wherever and however you may be joining us for worship, we invite you to stand as we continue to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Hear these words from Psalm 119. I will delight. I will meditate. I will rejoice. With my lips and with all of my body, praise be to the Lord Almighty. Yeah. I seek you with all of my heart. This morning, brothers, sisters, and friends, let us seek the Lord who is grace and wisdom. Let us seek the Lord with all of our hearts. Amen.
Good and gracious God, today words fail me. Your grace overwhelms me, and your love surrounds me. Your embrace comforts me. I cannot find the words to properly express the praise that you deserve. But God, make my life a living testament to your goodness and your love. It is in your Son's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, boys and girls, it is time for children's time. So I invite you to look up at me. I gotta see where you are. I have been running through this church this morning. I need a breath. We've got a lot of kids down in the nursery, so we're playing tag team, and it's pretty cool. So bear with me for a minute. Boys and girls, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about something that you guys love to say. How often do you tell someone, "I promise"? A promise, right? It's one of your favorite phrases. I loved it when I used to teach school because y'all would say it all the time. I promise I will do that. And when you tell your parents, I've raised three boys, so I've heard, I promise. Let's see. I promise, Mom, I will make my bed today. Maybe after I get home from school. I promise, Mom, I will take out the trash after you've told me 10 times. I promise that I will feed the dog. Maybe after I get up at noon and the dogs are really hungry. There's a lot of promises that you guys make. And then, boys and girls, sometimes I hear you say, I cross my heart. That's a major promise, right? When you say that to someone, that's like a really, really big promise. Do not tell this secret to anyone. I promise. I cross my heart. And then you're on the playground at recess and what happens? You've just got to tell someone what that story is, right? You can't wait to tell them. Well, I was reading our scripture today, and the last verse in Jeremiah is what I want to talk to you guys about. It's really, really cool. Listen to what it says. It says, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And you know what God is talking about here? He's talking about this thing called a covenant. A covenant. I'm going to say that word one more time for you. A covenant. You know what that means, boys and girls? That's a really big, super duper promise. A covenant. I don't think you've ever made a covenant with anyone yet, but you will someday. And in our scripture today, God tells us that in this covenant, that God is putting God's word on our hearts. And so I brought with me this big old heart. And I want you to think about this when you go home today. And this is more than just a promise that you give to your parents that you're going to make your bed. This is more than a promise you give to your friends that you will play with them at recess. This is more than a promise that you will feed the dog. This is a promise from God that God is putting God's word inside your heart. And so on my heart, I wrote God's promise. This is bigger than any other promise that you have made with anyone, and it comes from God. Do you think this promise is going to be forgotten? Do you think God's going to forget to love on us when we do something wrong? Do you think God's going to forget to love on us when we're having a really hard day? God's not going to forget to love on us when we're scared and when we're taking a test and when we're frustrated. God is putting God's promises right here inside your heart, and that covenant will never, ever be broken because God loves us no matter what. So no matter how many promises, pinky promises, real promises, cross my heart promises that you make with people, God's promise is true. And that's what we want to try and do, right? We want to make our promises like God and love others like God loves us. Boys and girls, will you pray with me now? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your promise. Thank you for this covenant that you have shared with us that will never be broken. Thank you for showing us how to love one another in the most beautiful way. Thank you for being here with us every day. God, teach us to be more and more like you. Be with each and every one of these 2B kids and their families, and help us to know that we are loved by you. In your most holy name we pray. Amen. Boys and girls, if we're going down to preschool praise, I'll walk you down there. Let's go.
The Hebrew Scriptures, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 33. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The word of God for the people of God.
I knew where I might fall.
Let's pray together. God, you are so good and so beautiful. Thank you for your presence in this place and for allowing us to be your children. Lord, we seek your forgiveness today and ask for your gentle hands to guide us out of dark places and into your light. Help us to see beyond our own weaknesses and help us to live the life that you see in each one of us. God, your name is above all names. We worship and adore you, and we sing your praises, for only you are worthy. Thank you so much for your love. Amen.
The gospel lesson is from John 12, 20 through 23, 27 through 30. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not for mine." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Incredible time of worship it has already been. It's only going downhill from here. Thank you all, each of you. I got so excited announcing Boyd family, I left off another announcement and wanted to apologize. However, this I just think is just so important. Our To Be Leaders program will begin again this summer, and registration for such is open as of tomorrow. So you have the early registration. For extra $500, I'll get you signed up tonight, but you can wait till tomorrow morning. Please forgive me for forgetting that in the announcements. However, I'm just so truly grateful for Savannah and Jordan and our students, for Pastor Cheryl, and for Mike Spann helping us set all this up. It is just an incredible ministry. If you're unfamiliar with our To Be Leaders program, I hope you'll check it out and drive by here in the summer. It is just a blast to see God's children have fun and learn and lead. Thank you for offering me that grace. Few people this time of year, I suppose, are hated more than Christian Laettner. You remember Christian Laettner, the Duke basketball star who hit these incredible shots, one against UConn, one against Kentucky, regarded as some of the greatest basketball shots ever made. I must confess, my basketball education has improved astronomically since moving here, and I'm grateful for it. Christian Laettner is hated for taking advantage of the moment, right? Of the moment. And this is something I suppose our popular culture at least celebrates. Will you rise to that great moment? Yeah, poet Marshall Bruce Mathers III, my wife knows this poem by heart, in his autobiography, we'll call it, says, "If you had one shot, one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, in the moment, would you capture it or let it slip? You lose yourself in the music the moment you own it, never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss this chance. Let this opportunity comes only once in a lifetime." Yo. Yeah. Yo. Yeah. The rapper Eminem speaks of that moment in life, that one shot, that one opportunity. Our popular culture seems enamored with this rising to the moment. However, the basketball GOAT, Michael Jordan, remembers that he missed 1,000 shots in his career. He said, I lost over 300 games. He says, on 26 occasions, I was entrusted with the ball at the last second to take the shot to win the game. And on 26 occasions, I missed. On 26 occasions, I failed. And he goes on to say that it is those moments, it is those missed shots in that pivotal moment, it is those failures that inspire me to live all the more. And our popular culture may be enamored with this idea of rising to the occasion, rising to that one moment you have. However, our scripture doesn't seem to present life. Our scripture doesn't seem, in my opinion, to present faith. Our scripture doesn't seem to present the path of Jesus as a singular shot, as a singular moment that one must grasp. We read of the words, thank you, Callie, your voice is so helpful and beautiful. We'll read of the voice of the prophet in Jeremiah, of a new covenant, of a new thing that God is establishing amongst the people, which infers there's been things that came before it. Yeah. God is going to do a new thing, which suggests there's been other things that have been done. In the very beginning, all of the cosmos, all of the world, all of reality, all of creation is given as a covenantal sign of God's goodness, of the glory and the grace available in life. And it, as if that wasn't enough, as if that wasn't enough, just a few chapters later, in one of humanity's darkest moments, God sends a rainbow as a covenantal sign of hope when all seems dark and gray. And as if that wasn't enough, just a few chapters later, God takes Abraham and says, I will bless you and bless the whole world through you, such that your descendants will be more numerous than the trillions of stars, in order that you would be a blessing to the world, a covenantal sign. And as if that wasn't enough, again, God takes the people in bondage and in Egypt and in slavery and delivers them into a new space, a new land, and offers them a new way to live such that they will not become like Egypt. And as if that wasn't enough, here we are in Jeremiah at the rivers of Babylon. Yeah. And of all the images I might share with you today of the divine, of all the things that I believe taking place at the heart of God, despite all of the unfaithfulness, despite all of the stiff-neckedness. What a great word. Just made it up. Stiff-neckedness. Be careful. My grandmother said the difference in naked and the difference in necked is one of them is you're up to no good. You can infer which is which. Different word here. Stiff-neckedness. Yeah, and when we're talking about the unfaithfulness of Israel, when we're talking about the forgetfulness of God's people, who we're really talking about is, yeah, that's right, yeah. And despite all of these missed shots, oh, this is so good, right? Despite all of these failures, this is the image of God that stands out the most. Let's do it again. Jeremiah says, the Lord is doing a new thing. And despite all of our failures, God is, let's do it again. Let us be gracious. Let us be good. Let us be loving. Let us redeem again. And I have confessed this sin to you before and come before you again asking for your grace. But our family has invested well over a decade into ABC's The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and even Bachelor Island and all of its iterations. I confess to you, it is not wholesome entertainment. It is not enriching artistry. And as you may well know, the essence of this show is one person dates simultaneously a group of other persons looking to find true love. And at the end of this unreality show, there is a winner who is the person who's supposed to be the new committed love. Often the show ends in a proposal and an engagement. And in 20 years of this show, practically none of the relationships have lasted. Yeah. Which says a little something, side note. Who are we when the cameras aren't rolling? Who are we when the cameras aren't showing our good side? Yeah. And despite all of the sort of insanity that was our last year of life together, much of that conflict and difficulty was represented, as you well know, in both iterations of The Bachelorette and The Bachelor last year, right? I don't need to bore you, but I will. The first African-American Bachelorette. And the first African-American bachelor. And at the end of The Bachelor, this past season, last Monday night, listen, I pretend on Monday nights not to pay attention. I pretend to do the dishes like this. What did he say? I pretend not to look forward to Monday nights. But at the end of The Bachelor this season, the first African-American bachelor chose a young, beautiful, seemingly kind young woman, not to be his wife just yet, but they committed to one another in love and in fidelity to grow in relationship. And when the cameras turned off, just some few weeks after, there were images of this young woman participating in college social events that were racially awful, insensitive, inappropriate, and hateful. Yeah. And just to recap, Adam, a young black man, chose Eve, a young white woman. And not long after they made a commitment to one another on television, some few weeks later, images in the public realm surfaced of this young woman when she was in college participating in events themed, celebrating antebellum plantation culture, therefore the ownership of other people as property and the subjugation of native peoples here in our country. And last week, when asked on national television, Did you ever think about how hurtful, how harmful those images might have been? She confessed, I never even thought about it. I never even thought about it. Weeks ago, when all of this leaked, I Googled my name. And I went back through all of the pictures online of me that I could find just to make sure my name wasn't attached, because I too have attended parties themed. I too have been present. I spent the first 20 years of my life spending a lot of time in locker rooms and all the locker room talk that happens therein. And nowadays I'm learning just how inappropriate, just how borderline hateful those things are. Really are. I'm learning. I want to just be very clear. My attempt in this moment is not to cast shame upon this young woman who appears to have offered a sincere apology and appears to be learning herself. The point is that I confess to you that I've missed the shot. I've fallen short of the mark. And one of the more difficult moments in the life of Jesus, as we read today, as he is preparing to receive the complete weight and agony of the cross, he cries out to God and says, God, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Not my name, but it is your name, O God, that should be glorified. And an incredible display of power and grace and just an incredible miracle paired with creation. The voice of the Lord in the presence of friends and foreigners, the voice of the Lord reveals to all and says, my name is glorified and it will be glorified again. What a great word. Again. Yeah. Just before this, Jesus' best friend, the beloved disciple, Lazarus, in the grave for 4 days. Jesus is late, seemingly, and rolls back the stone of the tomb and calls forth Lazarus up from the grave, calls forth Lazarus again into life, again. And brothers and sisters and friends, let me be direct. If you want to make mad the authorities that be, when Jesus raises Lazarus to walk again in life, the scripture tells us that is the moment that the authorities decided what they would do to Jesus. If you want to make mad the powers that be people of forgiveness and redemption. There is nothing like forgiveness and redemption that might rattle the status quo. Despite all the failures, despite all the missed shots, God's name is glorified and glorified again. And when friends and foreigners alike ask Jesus about this voice of the Lord coming, and Jesus says, this is for your benefit. This is for your benefit. You see, grace grows. The glory of God appreciates, and it's for our benefit. There is no resource in all of reality like the grace of God that is offered again and again and again. There's no other resource, no other reality. The more you need it, the more there is. The grace of God keeps going. The glory of God keeps going. And it is for your benefit. It is for those of us who have fallen short. Those of us who have missed the mark. Those of us who clunk it off the iron every time. Yeah. The grace of God keeps going. And all of this inspires within me not opportunity nor occasion to cast shame upon a young woman who made mistakes. Rather, all of this inspires within me, reminds my heart and my soul and my body that I have so much left to learn. Yeah. You are beautiful. You are kind. You inspire me. One of the primary ways that I know that Christ is real is for I have seen the light of Christ in you. You are the face and the love of Christ. And I suspect you, like me, you still have room to learn. Yeah. Violence against the Asian American community reminds us as a culture, we still have so much left to learn. Yeah. Yeah. Mahatma Gandhi says, live as though you were to die tomorrow and learn as though you are to live forever. Learning is a forever journey. Yeah, we're always learning. We're always unlearning. We're always growing. It is again and again. It keeps going. Yeah. Yeah. Just a few notes about learning. First, your learning is your responsibility. Yay, learning! You get to learn. Yeah. And your learning It's not my responsibility. It's not the mayor's responsibility. It's not the first African-American bachelor's responsibility. It's your responsibility. Your learning is your responsibility. My learning is my responsibility. Differentiate for just a moment between a parent and child relationship. And for those of you keeping score at home, the Bible says most of all about the parent-child relationship, it's about honor. Parents, be honorable, inspiring the honor of your children. Yeah. What do you want to learn? Your learning is your responsibility. And when asked, if our learning is our responsibility, we remove the blame game. It's no one else's fault that I haven't. It's no one else's fault that I don't. We remove the blame game and we enter in to the deepest possible learning in which we own, which we are responsible for our growth. Second point about learning, and I would like the record to show, you could bless me no more by letting me know what books you've read, what podcasts you're listening to, and what music is your jam right now, okay? Send a telegram, send a carrier pigeon, an email, a call, a text message. I love to know the material in which you're engaging, the things that inspire you. And the books, the podcasts, the trainings, and the friends who've shared their life lessons with you are likely not to be very helpful to other people. Yeah. I mean, you've been there, right? Read a book and it moves you. It inspires you. Been to a conference, right? It moves you. It inspires you and you learn and you share this with someone else and it's just totally flat. Yeah. Yeah. And that's okay because their learning is their responsibility and your learning is your responsibility. And it's great to share. It's great to share. But the things that inspire you are likely not to inspire another, and that's okay. Yeah. Third, learning, education is not above, before, most of all, learning and education is not information. It's not. Learning is formation. Learning is transformation. And Gandhi says, learn as though you're going to live forever. Yeah, it's a forever sort of process. I suggest to you that learning is a resurrection sort of process. We die to that which we think we know. We unlearn that which we think we know, such that we might be to new levels of learning. And this is not information. For the most part, this is not information. Sometimes the more information actually removes the subtleties of learning. Yeah. This is one of the reasons why during Lent, Christians around the world practice fasting. And whatever form that might take, whatever sort of medium that might take, and there is still time left, I encourage you to consider fasting. Google Richard Foster fasting in his book, Celebration of Discipline. It's a totally free public domain book. It's one of the greatest chapters in fasting I've ever read. If you can't find it, let me know. I'll recommend a book to you. Wow, that didn't last long. This is why Christians around the world practice fasting during Lent, because Lent is the opposite of more information. Fasting is the opposite of more information. Fasting is emptying, right? Because learning is not first and foremost information. Learning is transformation, which requires experience. Experience, yeah. Legend tells the story of a young mother who sacrificed all that she could to provide for her daughter. And because when she was a child, she wasn't able, her family couldn't afford. As she became a mother, she saved all of her extra pennies to provide piano lessons for her daughter. There came a day, this is late in the 19th century, maybe early in the 20th century, there is a day when Ignacy Paderewski, and forgive me, one of the greatest pianists, the prime minister of Poland later, it came through town to play a concert at an incredible sacred concert hall. And although this young mother couldn't afford tickets, someone in their church knew that this young mother was gifting her daughter with piano lessons. And she said, church member said, take these tickets and allow your daughter to hear a master play the piano for an evening. And so sure enough, this young mother and her daughter, they went. And as they walked in there to the great concert hall, they saw other church members and friends from the neighborhood. And the mother began to create conversations with friends and acquaintances there near to their seats. And like any good young child does, maybe even should, as mom was talking to others, this young daughter slipped out of sight and went past the door that said, "Do not enter." She found herself in a stage-like area with a piano. And the crowd there assembled began to hear what they thought were notes from a piano. And so they rushed open the curtain. They quickly hurried to dim the lights. And as all of this happened, the crowd sees and the crowd hears this young girl playing notes that sound like chopsticks. And the crowd grumbles. The crowd looks at the mother saying, "Why did you even bring your child to such an event as this?" And legend has it that Paderewski was at backstage hearing the notes coming from the Steinway piano, grabbed his coat, rushed to the stage, sat down beside the young girl, and began to play harmony. Began to play a counter melody, and the two offered the most incredible version of chopsticks one could imagine. And as they played together, the master pianist, time and again, looked at the young girl and whispered in her ear, "Keep going. Play it again. I am with you." And as we, in our best attempts and in our best efforts, as we struggle through chopsticks, brothers and sisters and friends, may you hear the voice of the Master beside you, whispering to you, "Keep going. Try it again. I am with you." Good and gracious God, hear these our prayers. In the name of the Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen. If we can be of help to you now or at another time, we would be honored to respond in whatever way you may feel comfortable. I invite you to stand as we continue to respond and worship together.
you pray with me, please? Good and gracious God, we come to you this morning thanking you for all of the blessings that you have given to us. And we thank you that we get overs, that if we make a mistake, we get to make it right. And we thank you that you will do a new thing in us and that you will be glorified again. Lord, as each of us comes to you, we thank you for the gifts and for the blessings that you have given to us. These may not be physical, that we can see or touch, tangible. They may be spiritual inside each of us. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to steward these the way you would have us to do. And you don't ask us to do anything that you don't also give us the strength and courage to do. And Father, as we bring our gifts to you this morning, our physical gifts of money, I pray that you will bless it and cause it to go further than it would if each one of us tried to do something. There's power in the congregation and in sharing and in having everyone contribute. Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize when it's you and when it's not you. Please bless these, our gifts this morning, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just to be very clear and set the record straight, Marilyn was the master and Larry was the student. Thank you very much. Beautiful. I mean, we all knew it. I just thought it would be good to say. My friends, my brothers and sisters, what a joy it is to gather with you in worship, an honor to be in the presence with you, in the presence of true grace and love. As you go today, as you go this week, may your team make all the shots or miss all the shots. And may you make some shots or miss some shots regardless. May the grace of God keep going with you again and again and again. Go in peace.